In this week's parsha, Parshas Ekev, we have a pasuk which states as follows: that Bnei Yisrael, they traveled from a place called Be'erot Bnei Akan, and they went to a place called Mosera. Over there, Sham Meith Aaron died, Ve'ikaver Sham, and he was buried there. Ve'ichahen Elazar Beno Tachtav, and his son Elazar took over as a Kohen Gadol from him. There is a Gemara Yerushalmi which asks a very basic question. We know that Aaron didn't die in the place called Mosera, as it seems to say in this pasuk, but rather he died in a place called Hor Hahar. So why is this, our pasuk here telling us he died in Mosera? So the Yerushalmi tells us of a very interesting incident which had occurred. You see, when Aaron died, in fact, at Hor Hahar, it was through Aaron's chus, his merit, that there were clouds of glory, anani akavod, over Bnei Yisrael. When he died, these clouds left. Now, the goyim, the Knanim, they saw how the clouds left Bnei Yisrael, which were actually a protection for them, and they took this as a sign that now they can attack and wage war against Bnei Yisrael. So when Bnei Yisrael saw that they were going to be under attack from the Knanim, they got all nervous, and they decided to run back to Mitzrayim, back to Egypt where they came from. So they went back eight different encampments. They went backwards eight encampments. This is Mosera. And at this point, the tribe of Levi was upset. How could they do this? How could they make their way back to Egypt? So they waged a type of civil war, and they killed out eight families out of Bnei Yisrael. And while being attacked, Bnei Yisrael fought against Levi, and Levi lost also four families. So it came out that 12 families, and all told were decimated at this point. So they started making a cheshbon nefesh. They started making a calculation. Why did this happen to us? Why did all this blood occur over here? This bloodshed. So they came to the conclusion that it was because they didn't mourn the loss of Aaron, and so they decided to make amends, and they started to give him eulogies and etc., as is becoming the great tzaddik Aaron was. And this all happened at this place called Mosera, and therefore, since it was there that they eulogized him, etc., the Torah considers it as if that's where Aaron died. But of course, we know, in fact, he really did die at Hor Hahar. The question, though, is asked that, what do you mean that they didn't eulogize Aaron when he died at Hor Hahar? It's a explicit pasuk over there in Parshas Chukas that they did. Said they saw that Aaron died, but Yivku as Aaron Shloshim Yom Kol Beit Yisrael. Said that they cried for Aaron 30 days, all of Beit Yisrael. And they learn out, Chachamim learn out, Kol Beit Yisrael refers to the men, the women, everybody. So what's the idea over here that they didn't mourn for Aaron when he died at Hor Hahar? Surely it's an explicit passage that they did. So the answer, one answer given is that yes, they did eulogize him, they did mourn his death, they did cry for him, but not enough. Since Aaron was a big tzaddik, he was a big tzaddik, Talmid Chacham, holy man, as a result, it wasn't enough. They had to eulogize him more, befitting the person who he was. And since they didn't give him the proper, complete honor that was deserving of him, as a result, this was what caused the civil war and the bloodshed. So we see from here a very awesome thing, that when not enough honor is given to a Talmud Chacham, to a Torah scholar, it can lead to terrible things. It led to, in this case, 12 families were decimated, bloodshed, all because not enough, not that no honor, just not enough honor was given to a Talmud Chacham. So from here we learn that one has to give extra amount and proper amount of honor to the Talmud Chacham that is due him. I'd like to share with you a story which brings out this idea. It's a story about the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. He is known as the Or HaChaim because of his commentary on the Chumash, but his real name was Rav Chaim ben Attar. And he used to have a minhag that he used to shecht, he used to slaughter every week, every Friday, animals, and he used to take the meat and distribute it amongst the poor people in his city. And specifically, the Talmidei Chachamim in the city. Those that were busy learning Torah, so they lacked a decent parnasa. And so for every Shabbos, he was able to give them meat. One week, there was a problem in the city that there was no kosher meat to be found. All the slaughtering that was done throughout the week came out treif. It was invalid. And here, Shabbos was around the corner, and no meat to be had. The only meat that was kosher was that of Rav Chaim ben Attar. His shita was kosher. So, but as usual, he distributed the meat to the Talmidei Chachamim, the Torah scholar. Then he was approached by a very wealthy man in the town. And he said, Rav Chaim, there was no meat to be had this week, and it's almost Shabbos. I'd like to have some of your meat. I know you have some kosher meat. Can you please give me some? Of course, I'll pay you well for it. So Rav Chaim, he declined. He says, I'd like to, but I can't because I distribute my meat to the poor people, which has been distributed already. And the only thing left is a little piece, which is going to this Talmid Chacham named Moshe. So when the rich man heard that, he belittled this Talmid Chacham. He goes, huh? You call him a Talmid Chacham? Eh. Rechaim didn't say anything, and the man just shrugged his shoulders and went off. However, it might seem like a small, insignificant occurrence, but not so in the eyes of heaven. They saw what Rav Chaim ben Attar did as a very negative act. What did he do? Not so much what he did, but what he didn't do. He should have, when he heard this rich man belittle this Talmud Chacham, he should have stood up for the honor of Talmud Chacham. He should have rebuked, he should have reproached this man, this rich man, and told him not to speak that way of Talmidei Chachamim. He didn't. He just stood there silently, not saying anything. And this, in the eyes of heaven, was a very serious matter. Not to stand by and not to give rebuke when someone belittles a Talmud Chacham, there's a very serious offense in the eyes of heaven. As a result, they decided that they're going to, in Shemayim, decree a punishment upon Rav Chaim ben Attar, and which was to be meted out after Shabbos. So sure enough, after Shabbos, in Shemayim, it was revealed to Rav Chaim that he was to be punished. His punishment was 7 years in exile. This meant going from place to place, anonymously, nobody knowing who he was, the great tzaddik that he was, and he just had to go from place to place, city to city, and was suffering the embarrassment of being a beggar, a pauper, for 7 years. All was a punishment for not standing up for the Talmud Chacham's honor. So he accepted it. That's what they want in Shemayim, that's what they want, and off he went to his exile. Towards the end of the week, it was Friday, and there was Shabbos, and he was having in mind is to look for a place for to stay now for Shabbos. And as he's walking by a forest, he hears somebody chopping wood. He hears the sound of the axe. And as the axe strikes the wood, he would hear a man say, "Lichvod Shabbos Kodesh." Lichvod Shabbos Kodesh. So he saw, wow, this is a person that really honors the Shabbos. I'd really like to, you know, maybe stay by him for Shabbos. So sure enough, he approaches him, and he asks him if he could be his guest for Shabbos. The man says, certainly, and took him to his home. Of course, he mentioned he didn't reveal who he was. He remained anonymous as a simple pauper, Reb Chaim. So the person went to shul with him, came home, gave him a nice Shabbos meal. After the meal, the host said to Reb Chaim, perhaps you'd like to come with me to the shul, the Rav's giving a shiur. So he said, sure, why not? I'd like to hear shiurim. So they went to the shul, and the Rav of the shul, he was a big tzaddik, is Parshas B'chukosa. And the Rav got up in front of the congregation, and he said that the first pasuk in the Parshas B'chukosai, he said he was revealed, it was revealed to him from Shemayim, 14 different peyushim, different commentaries on just the first pasuk in the Parsha. And this was, he said, revealed to him in the name of the Gaon, the Tzaddik, the Kadosh, Rav Chaim ben Attar. This is well known to us, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rav Chaim, he in fact wrote 42 different Perushim on the first pasuk of Parshas B'chukosa. So here the Rav gets up, announces he was revealed to him from Shemayim, from heaven, 14 different explanations on this pasuk. And one after another, he told them to the congregation. Rav Chaim was listening to them all at the back, sitting in the back row. When the Rav completed his discourse, Rav Chaim got up and he screamed out, yes, in fact, these are the words of Rav Chaim ben Attar. And he sat down. Now, this did not go well with the people of the congregation. So what kind of chutzpah is this? Get up and say, these are, of course, this is what the Rav said to Rav Chaim. Who are you to try to say what the Rav said was right, and if we requested such a thing? And they were very upset at this kind of conduct. Again, they didn't know who they were dealing with here. So they, you know, were upset, but the Rav said, leave him alone, he's a guest here. Let's not get involved with him. So they didn't. The next day, Shabbos morning, they had their morning meal after shul. Again, their host said, you'd like to come with me to shul. The Rav is giving a discourse again, a shiur. So Rav Chaim said, sure. So he sits in the back row, again, listens. The Rav gets up and he says, last night was revealed to me from heaven another 14 perushim, different explanations on the first pasuk of B'chukosa, which I'm now about to tell you. These were revealed to me in the name of the Gaon, the Tzaddik, the Kadosh, Rav Chaim ben Attar. And he went through the 14 perushim. Upon completion, Rav Chaim again stood up from the back row, yelled out, yes, in fact, these are the words of Rav Chaim ben Attar. Now, if they were upset at him the first time, now the people there were close to furious. They went up to him, how could you do such a thing? He told, yesterday we were upset, you knew we were upset. And so they said, that's it. One last warning. We don't punish without giving a warning first. You have a warning. Don't you, watch what you say. No more comments like this in our shul, in our synagogue. So that was that. They went home, and then for the third meal, Sudash Lishin, the host said, would you like to come with me to Rav speaking again for the third meal? I said, sure. Went with them. Sure enough, Rav gets up and says, it was revealed to me from heaven again, 14 perushim of the first pasuk of B'chukosai, which makes a grand total of 42. And these as well were revealed to me in the name of the Gaon, the Tzaddik, the Kadosh, Rav Chaim ben Attar. And he went on and said over the 14 explanations. Yes, you guessed it. Rav Chaim stands up and screams out for the third time, "Yes, these are the words of Rav Chaim ben Attar." Well, that was a straw that broke the camel's back. The Gabayim got up, they grabbed him by the arm, they said, "You're coming with us. We warned you." And they took him and they locked him up in a room. They said, "We're going to lock him up in a room until we decide what judgment to give him for this terrible, terrible chutzpah. And it will be meted out the next day on Sunday, because on Yom Rishon, because you can't dan dini Torah on that night." And this was Motzei Shabbos, so they said the next day on Sunday is when they're going to decide. Usually, in cases such as this, the punishment usually was they would take the person, sit him in like a little room next to the corridor of the shul, and with a little piece of paper written on it what offense this person did. And as people walked into the shul, they would spit on him. Everybody would spit on him. And with that tremendous busha, that tremendous embarrassment, that was usually a person's punishment. So if he was found guilty, which they thought he would be, that was going to probably be the punishment he would have to meet. Anyways, so for the time being, he was locked up, Rav Chaim was locked up in this room, Motzei Shabbos. And as people were making Havdalah, all of a sudden they heard tremendously powerful winds. Hurricane winds. And people were fearing for their life. They got stronger and stronger, and they thought that was going to be the end of the city. The Rav of the city, he then turned to Shemayim, to the heavens, and he asked, "What's going on? Why? What's going on over here? We've never witnessed such hurricanes before. What's the reason behind it?" So from Shemayim, from the heavens, it was revealed to him that there's this big tzaddik, his name is Rav Chaim ben Attar. And every Motzei Shabbos, when he makes Havdalah, he has special intent when he says the name of God. And with that special intent, that saves the world from destruction, gives key to the world, lets the world survive and stay put. And now, this tzaddik is not saying Havdalah because he's locked up in a room, and as a result, the world now is in the danger of being totally destroyed. So when the Rav heard this, he got the picture, and he understood that they got the wrong man. So he rushed out of the room, his house, and into the room where Rav Chaim ben Attar was. He opened the door, fell at his feet, and cried, "Rebbe, Rebbe, please forgive us. We didn't know, we didn't understand, we didn't know who you were. It was totally by accident what had happened." So he accepted the apology, and they quickly brought him the wine, some spices, a couple of candles, in order to make the Havdalah, so he can have the proper intent in Hashem's name and save the world. And so he did, and no sooner than he finished that Havdalah, everything quieted down, the hurricane subsided. So in Shemayim, they realized, they saw what had Rav Chaim ben Attar had gone through this last week, specifically now over Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos specifically. So they decided to forgive him for his sin, and the 7 years of exile they decreed upon him was reduced to a mere 7 days, because of the sufferings that he suffered. But from here, again, we can see the tremendous punishment, this tremendous din, judgment in heaven for somebody who does not give the proper honor to a Talmid Chacham. Therefore, it's incumbent upon us to do all we can to show our respect, show our honor to Talmid Chachamim, those that are learning and involved on a full-time basis with Hashem's Holy Torah.